It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Walter Odeta, good afternoon to you. Welcome. Thank you very much for agreeing to answer our question once again. Pastor Odeta, you're muted. I can't hear you for some reason. I cannot hear a word you're saying. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
There you go. How are you today? Lovely. I'm well. Thank you very much, Pastor. Are you well?
I'm very well.
Great, great, great. Our question for today, Pastor, is did God create men and women for each other's pleasure?
Okay. Okay. That's a very interesting one today.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I would say that Ecclesiastes chapter 9, yes, verse 9, has something interesting about couples or people that are married.
Okay.
Yes. It talks about a reward that God has given men under the sun.
Yeah.
And it says that the reward is to live happily with your wife.
Yeah.
That's the basis, to live happily with your wife that the Lord has given you in your vain days.
Yeah.
So what it naturally means from the context of that text is yes. Happiness has got many effects from a marriage setup.
Right.
Including maybe the pleasure of what you've been mentioning from 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
Right.
Yes. So I would simply say that it is true that God has created men for pleasure, but it is not the only core thing that matters.
Right.
Yes, because God wants us to also have a character like his character. And he says in our homes, they should be like little heavens where we emulate the life that that he has made from the original.
Right.
That's Adam and Eve before sin. So if we talk about pleasure only, then from the biblical perspective, we are missing the mark. Yes,
okay.
It is important to have that procreation process or pleasure, but the main thing in the context of salvation for the family is to make sure that a husband has got a character of Christ, a wife has got a character of Christ, and the children.
Right.
Yes. So, but in the biological process of making children, there is pleasure. So when you check on the text of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul is addressing the Corinthians, the issue is actually an answer of a question where people were just sleeping around with anyone.
Right, right.
Then Paul says, you should marry. It should be legal that we know that this one is your husband, this is your wife.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
So I hear you, Pastor, and for the record, I totally agree with you. I have no objections to what you're saying. As a man, I totally agree with you. But I've heard people counter-arguing that, saying, it's because you're a man. That's why you view it in that way. And for the purposes of our conversation, I'm going to offer you what has been offered to me as a counter-argument. For example, when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I want to read for those who may not be aware of what it says. It reads from verse 1, "Now for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman." Right there in verse 1, according to St. Paul, I'm being sarcastic there, it's not good for a man to touch a woman. Quite frankly, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a man, implying that when you have desires to touch a woman, there is something not good about you. And then they go on to say, verse 2, "But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife," implying that sex with your wife is a result of you being immoral and you desiring that which is not good. Kindly respond to this, Pastor.
No, that's a topic that really needs a good time
right.
to explain. But I would say that from my understanding, with the background that I gave you, because
right.
as you start reading verse 1, it was actually a question which they are asking about issues of immorality.
Right.
Yes. But answering now on verse 2, he says now, you should do it when you marry with your wife.
Before you go to verse 2, Pastor, just address the parts where Paul is saying it is not good. It is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. Kindly explain that, because Paul doesn't say anything about marriage there. He simply says, women, whether you're married or not married, he says it is not good. But if you just must, then the one that you must be your wife. So what is where does Paul get this from, that it is not good for a man to touch a woman?
I think basically from the question that he was asked from the Corinthians, it was the issue of just any man and just any woman. Those who are allowed to do this are married people.
With respect, there, Pastor, it doesn't give us that question. We don't have the benefit of that question. We don't have it anywhere. So I do wish for us to just address that part with what evidence we have, which is only verse one of chapter 7. So Paul again makes a very bold statement. He says it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman.
Okay.
Just clarify, why is he saying it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman? If he says it's not good, where does he get that from, and what exactly does that mean? And he doesn't say it's not good. It is good for a man not to have illicit sexual relations. He doesn't qualify those relations as the wrong type. He simply says all sexual relations don't have any sexual relations.
Yes, that's why I said from the beginning that we also really need to check the background closely, and even the interpretation.
Right.
So I cannot give an outright answer now. I just need to check on it in the Bible and study about it. Then maybe I can give a clear cut on that one, so that we understand the background from where we're talking.
Not a problem. Pastor, perhaps I should take you up on that offer you said. Perhaps we need to have a longer period to talk about this. Can I invite you on a Sabbath afternoon to talk about this?
Definitely.
Lovely. Definitely. Lovely. Lovely. So let's go back then to Genesis, trying to answer still our question from the person who sent the question. Genesis implies that it was purely for procreation and not recreation. Other people argue Genesis chapter 1 as the reason why God created men and women purely for procreation, and God stipulates that be fruitful and multiply. It doesn't say be fruitful and have fun. How do you respond to that part?
I would safely say, this is just from my mind.
Right.
I would safely say, whether it's procreation or people does not have the ability to have children,
right?
The anatomy and physiology,
right,
of the act is just fun,
right?
Whether you are having unless it's a case where someone is being raped.
Right, right.
But
right.
where there is consent, when people are in agreement, I tell you, it's the biology of it, it's just fun.
Okay.
Because we need also to take a point where we say some actually married people
right.
does not have ability to have children,
right.
but they can have this act.
Right.
You see.
Right.
So
right.
I think we'll expound it more as we get enough time on that one, so
lovely.
That I just do a proper research.
No problem, Pastor. I'll take you up on that. We'll do this on a Sabbath afternoon. All right, let me say this to the person then who was expecting a full answer. The pastor has undertaken to come on a Sabbath afternoon, and we deal with this thoroughly. And I do want to apologize for not having sufficient time. It is a very taxing study, and I don't want to rush the pastor, especially when he says he would like to prepare a comprehensive study on this matter. Pastor Odette, I'll take you up on that. We'll do it on Sabbath afternoon.
Thank you.
All right. That is our preliminary answer from Pastor Odette, who is now going to be coming back and talking to this issue extensively.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.